All right. So, I will say for tonight's class, this is the one subject of worldviews where I'm going to have some kind of complication explaining this to you, because what is a New Age spiritualist person? Well, typically, it's kind of like when you study the religious groups under Christianity, you can typically say, okay, if someone is Catholic, typically they believe this. You know, someone is Baptist, they typically have this set of beliefs. Someone is Presbyterian or Mormon, they have this set of beliefs. When it comes to the New Age spiritualist, there are some common beliefs, but I found it's almost trying to explain it as trying to like nailing Jell-O to the wall. Okay? It is, all of those are mixed into this, what we would call the New Age movement. We'll get into that here in a second, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. Here's something we've already hammered before. Whenever we talk about worldviews, the thing that we always get back to is that it always starts with what you believe about God. Now, just kind of a quick review. Last week we talked about atheism, the idea that someone believes there is no God. Now, one thing I didn't mention last week, but we need to remember something. You know, in the Bible, according to Romans chapter 1, whenever you reject the God of heaven, it's not that you don't worship something, it's that you worship anything. It's not that you don't believe in something, it's that you can believe in anything. And with atheism, you know, I've known people who are not religious, that maybe they would call themselves an atheist. And you know what I found? They worship something. You just start talking with them. They worship something. Now, they might worship alcohol. Their paycheck and their money goes to the booze, you know. They might worship some kind of other pleasure or something that makes them feel good. They might worship some kind of sport, you know, football, for instance. And notice I didn't say it's wrong to like football, but some people make an idol out of football. You understand what I mean? They live and eat, sleep, and breathe football. You know, there's an idol. Maybe the idol is money, success, sex. You know, and I've often found with a person who says, I don't believe in God, I'm not a religious person, they often have several idols. You understand that? They often have several idols. I remember reading a book by a guy called, and the book was called Gods at War by Kyle Eidelman. And one of the things he talks about in the book is in places like in India, you go into their living room, and in their, what we would call the living room, all of their chairs are focused and centered around this idol that they worship, this god. And that's like the most important thing in the living room, in their home. So all the chairs are directed toward it. And he used that as an illustration. In America, when we go into our living room, where are all our chairs pointed to? The television. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And, well, does that mean we're making an idol out of TV? I'm going to tell you something. If you spend half of your life watching TV, maybe we've made an idol out of it. You understand that? If we have to have the newest and biggest TVs that's out, the clearest picture, all of the channels or whatever, and that's what we look forward to the most, maybe we are making an idol out of it. Now notice I don't leave saying tonight that Dale said that if you watch TV, it's wrong. I didn't say that. But I did say we should evaluate our relationship with the TV and consider how important it is to us. I remembered one time when I lived in Kentucky, I thought this was so interesting. I went into a music store, and it was in Tennessee, actually. Where I lived was just a few minutes from the Tennessee border. And this guy was, ran this music store. He had all kinds of instruments, guitars and mandolins, electric guitars, drums, banjos, all of that. He was all those things. He gave music lessons. Well, I got to talking with him. And this, I want to call him this redneck in bib overalls was, and I don't mean that to insult him, it's what he was wearing, was a very educated man. I loved talking with him. I loved picking his brain. He studied history. He knew the Constitution. He knew about America. And he looked at me and he said, I like to read. And he said, you know why I read so much? I said, why? He said, because I don't own a TV in my house. So my free time is spent researching and reading and studying. And he was great. I mean, he was the first guy that got my attention to the concept that maybe Abraham Lincoln, for instance, wasn't such a good guy after all. Now, I know you're not allowed to criticize Abraham Lincoln in our day and age. But that got me, he was the guy that got me reading about this, and I'm thinking, oh my, if he were alive today, we would hate him of the stuff that he did. If you want to see me after class, I'll recommend the book to you, and you could read it for yourself. I'm sure, I've seen some of you, I'm like, are you mad at me? But yeah, it's, anyhow, my point is you're going to worship something if you don't worship God. For the person who doesn't believe in God, you will make an idol out of something. I promise you that. For the communist, the government becomes God, ultimately. And we noted that last week. But here's the thing tonight. I want to talk about those who believe in what I call this New Age movement in America, perhaps somewhat better called cosmic humanism. Okay? If you think about this, if you're looking at this chart, the atheist is what we'd call the humanist, in that above him, beyond him, there's nothing greater than a human. So man becomes God in a lot of ways. Think about that. And cosmic humanism is the idea of a God, but really man is at the center of it. Okay? Man is at the center of it. Well, here's what I want to do. When I said it all starts with God, let's talk about something real quickly we call polytheism. That's a big word. Anybody know what that word means? Many gods. Yeah. As Christians, we are monotheist in that we believe in one God. There's only one God. Polytheist is the pagan view that there is many gods. Now, here's something that I find interesting. All right? I remember I had a friend of mine several years ago that worked at the St. Mary's prison. And he was talking with me about the people in the prison, and he's no longer with the St. Mary's prison. You work for the St. Mary's prison, right? He asked me, he said, have you ever heard of the religious group called the Druids? Did you ever encounter the Druids in prison? Well, he did, and it was a small group over at St. Mary's prison. And the Druids were very similar to what we would call the Wiccans, people of witchcraft, the Celtic pagans, basically, that is, it's an old religion that has revived itself, basically. And it is a growing religious group in the prisons, the Druids, which is, again, because it's so complex, I'm hesitant to call it male witchcraft, but it's very similar to witchcraft. Does that make sense? The Wiccans in prison, And let me give you an article back in 2017 printed by the Columbus Dispatch. Here's what it says. It says, inmates in state prisons now have a new choice to practice their religious convictions, and the new religious thing that is now in the Ohio prisons and West Virginia prisons is what they call paganism. It says, the Appalachian Pagan Ministry, which is a small volunteer group based in Huntington, West Virginia, has held services at two Ohio prisons to expand to three others. The Reverend Donna Donovan, ordained as a Druid priestess and an interfaith minister through Universal Life Church. Isn't this weird? A Druid priestess, and they call themselves the Universal Life Church. Whew. Is the leader of a group working with inmates. She describes herself as basically a pagan, referring to the religions that are not from Abraham. Now, when you think of religions from Abraham, it is Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Okay? And it is organized religion. Well, these religions are not as organized, basically. You understand that? But the point is her meetings include people who are heathens, Wiccans, and Satanists, even though she calls herself a Druid priest. And my point is this is a, you know, witchcraft, Wiccan, the Druids, it is a growing movement in America. It really is. It is in our prison systems. You have chaplains, or you could say, or ministers, you know, evangelizing people with these beliefs. You know, and it's, if you think about witchcraft, for instance, okay, let me give you a description of kind of just a very general description of what exactly is witchcraft or Wiccan. One writer says this, and just listen to this. It says, rather than a blatant worship of Satan, though they don't rule out worshiping anything or anyone, most Wiccans follow a nature-oriented belief system that is polytheistic, the belief in many gods, and many goddesses. It is built around the worship of the great Mother Goddess. Remember Mother Earth? Think about that. In a similar vein, the earlier New Age movement, Wiccans believe that all things in nature, plants, rocks, planets, have a spirit. I'll talk about that here in a minute, okay? Here's the thing about witchcraft I'm finding, okay? I am finding that what I'm going to talk to you about tonight is very much in tune with the environment. Many of your Wiccans want to be one with nature. Many of your New Agers, you know, these Eastern religions, nature is God. When you think of the environmental movement today in America, don't think people who have these beliefs, don't have these, you know, these ideas are not big time what we'd say environmentalist, okay? Because they are. I remember, 2 years ago, there was a lady in Ritchie County, and she was she was a nice lady. She ran, I think it was for the Senate seat. You know Sam. Her name was Lisa Lucas. You guys remember hearing her? Let's holler from the hollers. You remember that phrase? All right. When I worked 2 years ago when it was football time and election time, during the commercial breaks, I got tired of hearing those commercials, you know, during the football games. But she advertised to run as a Senate. Anyhow, one of the things that was interesting was she was called out by her opponent as a practicing witch, and she had actually had a pseudo-name and had written books on casting spells on people. And she ran, by the way, she didn't win. But like I said, as a person, she seemed very nice. She was very much against, you know, the oil companies and, you know, politicians taking money from the oil companies and all of that. And she was very big on running her campaign on, you know, individual donations, even though she got big liberal donors giving her money, I found later. She was actually on a YouTube channel called The Young Turks. Have you guys ever heard of The Young Turks? That's a very big young news organization on YouTube. And she was actually interviewed by them on their YouTube channel. So she was kind of a big deal. Like I said, she didn't win. But my point is if you don't think there are no practicing people who practicing Wiccans or witchcraft, I actually think we've got another thing coming, okay? In fact, one article notes that witchcraft and other pagan religions in the U.S., and for the past few decades, We have people rejecting Christianity and they're turning to things such as astrology, you know, your horoscope, things like that, tarot cards, psychics, and all of these things are connected together, basically. Okay, I'll give you one of the more notable examples of a practicing witch. You guys know who the quarterback Tom Brady is, right? Well, his wife is a practicing witch. In fact, there was an article Tom Brady had on an article about his wife being a witch, and here's what he said. He says, "She always makes a little altar for me at the game because she just wills it so much. So she put me together," he said this, "before a game, he said, she put me together a little altar for me that I can bring with pictures of my kids. And I have these little special stones and healing stones and protection stones. And she has me wear this necklace and take these drops she makes. And they say, and I say all these mantras," Tom says, "and I stopped questioning her a long time ago." I just shut up and listened. So Tom is somewhat of a practicing witch too, because his wife is, basically. Yeah. So, you know, allegedly it helps him win the games, you know. I don't know. I don't know what to think about that. I just think it's weird. I will tell you that. So when I think of witchcraft and everything else, here's something else I want you to understand, okay? When I look at witchcraft and these Eastern religions, these New Age things, okay, there's a lot of similarities, okay? There's a lot of similarities. Now, here's the next thing I want to talk to you about, though. One of the things about Wiccans is sometimes Wiccans believe in many gods, okay? The New Age Eastern religions believe in the idea, and here's a big word that you need to know, called pantheism. Pantheism. Okay? Notice theism in that word and pan. And here's what pantheism is. Pantheism is the belief that God is everything and everything is God. So by definition, you are a part of God. The universe is God, in other words. Does that make sense? Try to wrap your head around this, because I know it's, again, somewhat difficult. One person said this, Ruth Montgomery, a New Age person, said this. She said, "We are as much God as God is a part of us. Each of us is God. Together we are God. The all for one and one for all makes us the whole of God." So God, in other words, you know, as a Christian, I believe God is a being who is not material. He is immaterial, okay? He is outside of this universe. He is outside of space, time, and matter. He is a spiritual being. He is an eternal being. God has always existed, okay? For the person, the New Ager, God is the universe. And everything is God. So, this pew, guess what? It's part of God. The trees, they're God. Let me ask you something. If everything is God, does that change how you view the environment? Yeah. Does that change how you view animals? We will get to that, and you're absolutely right. One of the big problems with this, that everything is God, is the idea of morals and good and evil. What exactly is good and evil? You know, and we will get to that. Someone said this. It says, "Cosmic humanism or pantheism is the belief that all reality is God, from the grain of sand to the Milky Way. And their philosophy reflects this believing by focusing on such principles as which views planet Earth and indeed the whole universe as one big living organism." Okay? By the way, some Wiccans are known to be pantheist in that everything is God, or the creation has God-like attributes to it or spirits to it. Okay? So the Wiccans and New Age, I'm finding, and again, my knowledge is not complete, they're very similar in what they believe and what they practice and their outcomes and everything. By the way, the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, when you reject God, you reject the Creator and you start worshiping the creation. That's idolatry. You understand that? The Bible tells us idolatry is worshiping the creation and not the Creator. And when you look at these two worldviews, okay, the New Ager, the Eastern religious person, the Buddhist, you know, the Hindu, and the what we would call the pagan, that's exactly what's being happened. That's what's occurring here, is the worship of this, okay? Now, let me mention something else, okay? I have found that this New Age movement is growing, and here's something that I have found, okay? Let's look at this real quickly. Notice I have this chart here. There's the New Ager that believes that everything is God. There's the Wiccan that believes that there are many gods in nature, okay? And then this is, notice I have this right here. I call this the personal cafeteria-style religious person. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to understand about this. I have found, and if you just talk to people who used to go to church at one point in time, and they reject organized, they say, I reject organized religion, okay? It's not that they're not irreligious. It's that what they tend to do is they look at all different religions, and if there are things they like about Buddhism, they'll put it in their money bag. You know, it's like you go through a cafeteria on a, you know, a plate. If there are things you like about Islam, put it on the plate. You understand that? Put it on your tray. If there are things you like about Christianity, put it on your tray. You understand that? If there are things you like about Buddhism, put it on the tray. If there are things you like about witchcraft, you put it on the tray. And what do you got? You got your own smorgasbord religion, basically. You got your own cafeteria-style religion. And really quickly, I'll give you a quick example of that. We'll come back to that here in a second, okay? In 2017, I found this to be somewhat scary but interesting. The Pew Research Center did a survey, okay? And they found people, 6 in 10 people who identify as Christians or identify as I'm not religious at all, actually hold to what we call some New Age belief. Now, if you look at the top chart there, here's what you're going to find, all right? Here's some New Age beliefs. For instance, belief that spiritual energy can be located in physical things. That's a New Age concept, okay? If you notice this, 42% of all adults believe that in the United States, according to the Pew Research Center. Can you guys see that? I know that's hard to see. Notice this. 41% of all adults believe in psychics. 33% believe in reincarnation. By the way, what is reincarnation? Yeah, comes back. You get recycled, basically. And that's a nice, you know, I don't mean to be mean, but that's really what happens. You get recycled. If you were bad, you get recycled as not as a good life form. But if you were good, maybe you come back better, you know? Maybe you come back as a singer, as a Hollywood movie star or something, you know? But believing in 33% of adults believe in reincarnation, and then 29% believe in astrology. Anybody know what astrology is? What's that? Yeah, you know, human behavior, guidance in life is influenced by this, what beyond this earth, you know, the galaxy, the stars, things like that. How many of you read your daily horoscope in the paper? Stop it if you do. That's pagan guidance. It means nothing. You don't understand that? You read that? You read that in the Bible anywhere? You know? Stop it. But notice this if you look at the chart, though. Those who identify as Christian, 37% believe in spiritual energy can be located in physical things. Those who identify as Protestant, 32% believe in that. Evangelicals, 24%. Mainline, 43%. Those who are historically black under the Christian movement, 41%. Those who identify as Catholic, 47%. Do you see how these New Age beliefs have infiltrated into Christianity? You see that? I think it's... when I saw this by the Pew Research Center, I couldn't believe it. You know, that's shocking. Now notice at the bottom though, notice here at the bottom, people who say, I am not religious at all, or I am nothing, okay? What do they say? 61% believe spiritual energy can be located in physical things. 50, notice their percentages are higher than those of the Christian faith or atheists. 52% believe in psychics, 51% believe in reincarnation, and 47% believe in astrology. Now I want you to think about that, all right? If you have that high of people, then are they not religious? Yes. Even though they say I'm not religious, you do have religious beliefs. What your religious beliefs are is what I go back to the idea of you're, you know, if we could say you're the cafeteria-style religion person. You are your source of truth. You determine what you like and don't like. And by the way, such an idea is exactly the New Age belief, by the way. And we're going to get to that here in a second. Okay? I remember reading one book that I have. I recommend this book. The best class I ever took in college was a class on worldviews. It was my favorite class, and if there was anything I liked about college, it was it. Here was my college textbook. It was called Understanding the Times. Now, when you think of college textbook, you think of, that's a book that's over my head. Actually, the book was originally written for teenagers. It's a very simple book to read, written by a guy named David Noble. And a lot of the material I'm going to give you tonight is actually from this book. It was written in 2005. Since then, he's come out with revised editions and everything, but you could research that. If you want to do your own research and do your own reading, I do recommend that book. But let's talk really quickly about the New Age people, okay? You remember Shirley MacLaine? She's a New Ager. Ralph Waldo Emerson, Walt Whitman, they had New Age ideas. Phil Jackson, he's a Buddhist, New Ager. Tiger Woods, Richard Gere, Madonna, Alanis Morissette, they identify as Hindus. Let's think about movies. How many of you are Star Wars fans? Back in the 80s, May the Force be with you. You know what that is? That's New Age beliefs. The idea that the Jedi power is an energy field related by all living things, that's pantheism. That's the New Age stuff. This stuff's been around since the 80s. We made it popular in movies. George Lucas, you'll find he believes this stuff. He has been, and making Star Wars, by the way, he was very heavily influenced, I found. And he says it in interviews by people who are New Agers. You know, these Eastern religions. He was, I think it's interesting. There was the movie Avatar. You guys ever seen the movie Avatar? Hey, some of these are entertaining movies. Let's be honest. What was Avatar about? Anybody know what it was about? This other planet. Yeah, well, from nature. And this government, yeah, it was kind of like, in one sense today, it's almost like these terrible coal companies and oil companies are killing our planet and our resources, and we are one with nature, and that's our livelihood and our power and everything. And so they fought with them, basically. Avatar 2, I think, is coming out, by the way. That's all Eastern New Age religions. Let me give you another one. If you watch this movie, you will probably cry. A Dog's Purpose. You ever seen that movie? Okay. Let's talk about this real quickly. So, A Dog's Purpose came out a few years ago. Is about a boy getting a puppy. Okay? And this is his sidekick all throughout high school. When he's a young adult, the dog dies. But the dog comes back as another dog, and then another dog. And the movie is about this man who is now in his 40s or 50s. This dog coming back as another dog finds him. And he learns that this was his original dog we had when he was a kid. You know, it's a very sappy movie, and it will make you cry. It's a cool movie, but, you know, it is based on the belief of reincarnation, of a dog comes back as another dog and another dog and another dog. You know what I mean? And so the dog gets hit by a car, and then he's a puppy again, you know, in another kind of breed, basically. You know, I think that's a good point. I think as a parent, I have to be very careful about what my kids watch. And I'm going to tell you this. I do not take the position that if there is any kind of new age or Wiccan thing in a show that you can't watch it. But if it's a show that is based on that and it is meant to indoctrinate, by the way, if you look, there are a lot of Disney shows that are really gravitating toward this new age witchcraft stuff. And these shows have been on for a long time. And I think over time you become a fan of it. I do think it can influence kids. And there have been times where I have told my kids, you're not watching that anymore. You know, I know it's rated, you know, not rated R, but it doesn't matter sometimes it's rated R. I don't like these teenage girls being practicing witches. You don't understand that? Your kid, I think, you're not watching it anymore. You know, spells and stuff like that. You know, I'm a little hesitant to get into this because sometimes people look at me and I get in trouble with this. But here's something I want you to think about, especially with the occult today, with the dark magic, we would sometimes say, which all of that is in the field of witchcraft, okay? We would consider that paganism and witchcraft. Do you know one of the words in the Bible, for instance, in Galatians 5, one of the works of the flesh, which is a sin, is sorcery. You understand that? Sorcery. And do you know the Greek word for sorcery is there in Galatians 5? Pharmakia. It's where we get our word pharmacy. Yeah. And one of the beliefs in the past, and I want you to think about this. Now, back up real quickly, okay? I believe the age of, according to 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10, the age of miracles, the age of supernatural miraculous gifts where someone lays hands on the blind and automatically they're healed, I believe that ceased at the end of the first century, okay? I think that's what the Bible teaches, okay? Now, what about demon possession, sometimes people ask? Well, it seems to me that demon possession ran hand in hand with the miraculous age. You understand that? So I don't think people are possessed by demons today because the means to cast them out, I think, has ceased. So I don't think people are possessed by demons. But I'll tell you something that's interesting. What's that? Right. Now, speaking of demon possession, you heard that. No, but just because there is no demon possession today does not mean there's no such thing as what I call demonic influences. Ephesians 6 talks about that. You know, as a Christian, we wear our battle armor. You know, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, the helmet of salvation. You understand that? But one of the things is we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with its principalities, spiritual things, in other words. And here's something I want you to think about. When you look at 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, when it talks about how and sometimes these pagans in the first century, when they were sacrificing to their gods, the Bible says they were sacrificing to their demons. And then when you look at the idea of sorcery, and one of the words is pharmakia, and back then people believed that one of the ways you communed with the gods was taking substances that alters your state of mind, and that's how you communicate with demons. What about that today? People are still taking substances. And there are people who claim taking drugs, that's how they communicate with extraterrestrial beings. Now, Some people may call them extraterrestrial beings. Maybe we call them demons. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm telling you, the idea of taking drugs and having these visions, we want no part of that as Christians. You understand that? For all I know, you know, like Ouija boards, stuff like that, I tell my kids, you're not going to have any part of that. You're not going to dabble into any kind of witchcraft. We are staying away from those things. You understand that? I am not saying that I believe in demon possession today, but I do think that Wiccans, Satanists, what are these? These are pagan religions from the devil. Don't think our kids can't be influenced by them in various ways, because they can. They can. And notice I didn't say, again, notice I did not say that demon possession is something that occurs. But I am saying we need to remember as Christians, even though the miraculous age has ceased, we are still battling the world that is being influenced by the devil. And I don't think I have to give an explanation as to all the ways the devil can influence people in the world today. Anyhow, any comments or questions about that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's more than just, you know, satanic movements. You're right. Absolutely. Absolutely. It can be anything. Here's something I want you to look at real quickly, okay? For the New Age person who, you know, this New Age movement, when you think of the three important questions of life, how did I get here? They will very much gravitate towards evolution. If nature is God and God is nature, you know, the world is evolving, the world is changing. That's what they will say. The idea of God creating it, according to the book of Genesis, they would clearly reject, because to them, God is nature and nature is God. God is, as the Bible teaches, is outside of nature, is outside of space, time, and matter, as we would say. God is immaterial, God is spiritual, God is eternal. Okay? The next thing is, you know, the idea of reincarnation, you come back. The whole point, when I think of the New Age movement today, okay, the whole point of it is the idea of discovering yourself, your inner truth. Okay? Let me give you some quotes, okay? And I want you to listen very carefully to the goal of the New Agers today. Because ultimately, you know what they want? A one-world government too. They want a one-world government too. Let me give you a few things. Cosmic humanism, and this is according to Noble, he says, isn't truth what we can know is a feeling or an experience, knowledge, that you know, each person, in other words, creates our own truth according to the principle, if it feels like truth to you, it is. Okay? I remember several years ago, Oprah Winfrey gave a speech. They were wanting her to run for president. And she made a phrase. She made a phrase of whatever is your truth is basically truth. Well, Oprah's a New Ager. You know, your truth. Now, by the way, what's crazy is Oprah will call herself a Christian. And she is far from it, by the way. She rejects the Bible and what it actually teaches about God and about life. She's a New Ager, more than anything. And by the way, she has a lot of money, and she has a lot of networks, and she has a lot of teaching, too. You understand that? Let me give you some more thing. The goal of the New Ager is achieving higher consciousness, which is the central goal of the movement. And so they believe problems are really in the mind. And here's one thing crazy I've found as I research this. Okay, our problems is our mind, and our mind is responsible for our health. And so people that are suffering through pain, sickness, or disease are doing so because they have not achieved their higher consciousness. I mean, you can take poison, in other words, and it won't make you sick if you have achieved a higher consciousness. One writer says this, that every time you don't trust yourself and don't follow your inner truth, you decrease your aliveness, and your body will reflect this with a loss of vitality, numbness, pain, and eventually physical disease. How you achieve higher consciousness and get connected with the God of nature and the God that is within you is through meditation. Sometimes crystals, sometimes mantras. By the way, Wiccans practice these things too. And these things are done to induce higher consciousness and, you know, channeling spirits, they believe, as well through nature. You understand that? So remember when I said the New Age and the Wiccans, they're very similar? Yeah, they have a lot of similar ideas, basically, as I'm researching this. Okay? Sometimes people believe that channeling spirits is sometimes they speak to you through a gifted person, or maybe spirits speak to you while you're engaged in meditation. New Agers suggest that, you know, you should seek astrology. You know what I mean? If God is nature, nature is God, then maybe we can determine guidance in life through the stars and everything. Fire walking, isn't that a big thing today? Ouija boards. All of these things can induce a state of higher consciousness as achieved through meditation, basically. Overall, let me just sum this up really quickly. The cosmic humanists want a world where everyone believes that we are all God, and that collectively we are working together to this higher consciousness. And when we work together to the higher consciousness, we solve all the world's problems and we become a one world government, and we don't need a government anymore. Remember I talked last week about communism? Remember the overall goal of communism was let the government control everything, seize all property, all possessions, tell you how to live, tell you what to do. And then eventually, once people learn communism, the government ceases to be needed. The government becomes obsolete, and everyone self-governs, and no one rules over anybody. And we know that's not possible. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, that the government is appointed by God. And one of the things the Bible implies is, in order to have to live in a society of order, you have to have a government. You do. You know, I mentioned this last night in our Wednesday night Bible class. If we all left and went to a remote island to live somewhere to be separate for freedom of religion, would we not have to have a set of rules to govern each other? Well, of course we would. Because if one of you starts stealing or killing all of us on the island, we got to do something about it. Or a governing rule, set of rules is what does that. God instituted the government. God appoints the government. And the idea that we could reach a point in life where we would no longer need a government is one of the silliest ideas in the world. It'll never happen. I can promise you that. It'll never happen. But one of the goals, very much like communism that the New Agers have, is eventually a one-world government where everyone is autonomous. And, you know, we won't need a government or a law if we all seek that higher consciousness, basically. One of the other things, too, is they believe... I remember several years ago, Oprah Winfrey had a book. I think it was called The Seeker. You guys ever heard of that book? It's one of the ideas, a New Age idea that you speak something into existence. So if you want to become rich, or you want to buy something, or you want to get... You speak it, and it comes true, basically. By the way, that's where Joel Osteen gets his teachings from. And that's why people like his stuff. He takes the New Age stuff in the Bible and puts it together, basically. And, you know, he just borrowed it from these occultic and these New Age stuff, basically. You know, speak it and it comes true. I'm going to tell you something. I can speak and speak and speak to become a unicorn. And I promise you, I'm not going to become a unicorn. I can speak and speak and speak to play in the NBA. And I promise you, I'm not going to make it in the NBA. Okay? But that idea, you speak it and it'll come true, you know. It's one of these self-help ideas, and a lot of times you'll get that from a lot of these things. In fact, it is called the belief that positive thought creates success and wealth. You know, that's one of the New Age ideas that you read about. Really quickly, let's talk about morals real quickly. All right? To the humanist, what is right and wrong? You know what it is? What you decide is truth through your meditation. You know what that really translates to? Whatever you feel. whatever you're deceived by in your mind. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, he says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks about to direct his own steps. In other words, the Bible teaches to know how to live life, you have to go outside of yourself to God to follow, to see how to live life. And how do we know that? Through God revealing His Word to us. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 talks about how you trust in the Lord with all your heart. You don't lean on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. That being God. Okay? To the New Ager, it's the exact opposite. What truth is, what right is, what wrong is all inner truth. It's all basically what, in one sense, you decide. Go ahead, yeah. It's your truth. It's your truth. Yeah, it's whatever you want it to be. Yeah.
That means that, oh, if time dictates that I should kill everyone and take all this stuff, then that's perfectly fine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. It's whatever you have decided what truth is. Truth is a matter of opinion, in other words. Morals, right and wrong, they're matters of opinions, essentially, when you get down to it with these ideas, okay? And so when you think about things such as marriage, those are old things that need to evolve. They should be obsolete. In fact, I have a bunch of quotes from some of these New Age writers. You know, things like marriage, homosexuality. There's nothing wrong with, living like animals. And there's no such thing as the sin. There's no such thing as sin, really. There's no such thing as the sin of adultery or fornication or homosexuality or, you know, anything like that. Do whatever you want to do. I tell you, that creates a crazy society of nobody wants children in some ways, if you think about that. It's a rather crazy thing. Let me give you one quote by a guy named Kevin Ryson. He says, sexuality, whether homosexuality or heterosexual, is the exploring of the personalities of yourselves as incarnate beings or as spirits inhabiting the flesh. And an individual sexual preference should be viewed as neither good nor evil. Such preferences are but the functioning of the body's dialogue to and with another. In other words, do whatever you want. Whatever your inner truth is. You know what I mean? Do whatever you want. You know? I don't know about you, but that often creates chaos. It really does. So, we got about 5 minutes left. Here's ultimately what I want to do. We've already kind of talked about this. Goals guided by feelings and experience, achieving higher consciousness, every human becomes a collective universal oneness with a one world government, career, success, and wealth. Those are overall the goals I have found. Death and afterlife, we already talked about that, reincarnation. So that's the last slide. Let's talk about the problems with some of these views, okay? All right, number one, it is very self-contradicting. Let me give you an example real quickly. One of the things that some of these New Agers do, like Oprah and some of them, they say, you know, there is no one religion that's right and everyone else is wrong. There is truths in all religions. You understand that? Okay? And one of the things that people are attracted to today, in my opinion, of this New Age movement, is it's a very non-judgmental religion. So there is truth in Islam. And there is truth in Christianity. And if you become this, you can cafeteriaize your religion, and it's a very non-judgmental thing. Whatever you believe is fine, except if you tell me that I believe something wrong, basically. You know, it's very non-judgmental. In fact, they believe that God communicated to all these religions and that no path is more direct than any other. You know, not one religion is more true than another, basically. George Lucas even once said that in an interview. He said, I came to the conclusion that all religions are true. Let me ask you something, okay? The very first law of logic is the law of non-contradiction. And you know what that states, basically? It states that something cannot be true and false at the same time. Okay? You can't do that. It's a law of logic. Now, whether you recognize that law, you live by that law. Okay? And here's the thing. When we apply this to the religions of the world, okay, think about the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Jews, the Muslims, people of the Christian faith, okay? As a Christian, I believe Jesus is God, and that God is, you know, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, okay? And that God is separate from nature, okay? How can I be in agreement with the person who believes in pantheism? How can I be in agreement with a person who believes in Islam who rejects that Jesus is God? Either Jesus is God and the Trinity is what the Bible teaches God, or is not. You understand that? We all can't be right in our view of God. That's foolish. Yeah, whatever you believe about God is true. Really? If I believe Jesus is God and the Muslims don't believe Jesus is God, how can we both be right? We can't. And the New Agers believe that God is the universe and the universe is God. The Bible doesn't teach that. We can't all be right. You know, that's the problem with this, basically. You know, when you begin to look at these beliefs of this is right, this is wrong, this is sin, this is... We all can't be right. You know, you can't say... And I hear people say this. There's truths in all religions, and my path to God is just a different path, and we all lead down different... Have you ever read Matthew 7, 13, and 14? The Bible says there are two paths you can take in life. There's the straight and narrow, and there's the broad path, okay? The broad path leads to hell, and the straight and narrow leads to eternal life. The Bible says there's two paths, and they go to two different places. You understand that? The Bible doesn't say there's four or five different paths from four or five different religions, and we all lead up to the same spot. Doesn't teach that at all, basically. Let me give you a few other things, because I know time is running out. Okay, here's some questions. We would sometimes ask. Okay, you know, morals. They're matters of opinion. I want you to think about this. Here's what one writer says. He says, take something of value from someone, like their phone, and he says, take it from them. You know, if you have a new ager, take their phone from them and tell them this is just an illustration, tell them you're going to keep it. When they object to this, that you've taken my phone and that's not right, you need to ask them, why are you upset? If you're upset, why are you trying to force your morality on me? I've taken your phone and you want me to give it back? On what basis should I give it back? On what basis did I do was wrong? You understand that? If there is no universal standard of right and wrong, why can't I take your phone and take a hammer to it? You know? Well, that wouldn't be fair. Well, on what basis is that not fair? Every day we understand that there are injustices in the world. But on what basis is something an injustice? The other night, Tuesday night, my son had a basketball game. I typically am pretty quiet during basketball games. I'll cheer for the team, but I usually don't start chirping at the refs. Well, I did Tuesday night. It's been a long time since I had seen a game like that where our guys were getting fouled. It was a home cooking job. It really was. We ended up winning still, but it was a home cooking job from these refs over in Licking County. I mean, our guys were getting hacked under the bucket left and right. Every time they got under the bucket, they got fouled. I mean, literally, just clear, blatant fouls. And I'm sitting there, and I'm getting mad. And I started sharpening at the refs. I said, is that not a foul? You got to be kidding me. I mean, I never said anything mean. And I never said, you guys are a bunch of homers. I never said anything like that. But I was getting mad. It was like, you know, don't take the game away for the kids. Call a fair game. You know, let's call a fair game. But what's my point? All right. The reason why I appealed that that's an injustice is because there's a set of rules. You understand that? And the rule book says that's a foul. If there is no set of rules, why am I mad? But yet, everyone acknowledges there is injustices today, there are wrongs today. But anytime you say something's wrong, you've got to have a rule or a standard that says it's wrong. Do you understand that? And in order to have that rule or standard, you've got to have a rule or standard that applies to everybody. And in order to have that rule or standard that applies to everybody, you have to have a God. And in order to have this God is not one whose nature. This God has to be out of space, outside of space, time, and matter, in other words. And you know, that's just the point. The whole thing with this New Age movement, what about morals? What about ethics? What about right and wrong? Well, you know, in one sense, you can live however you want. You can have every any kind of sexuality you kind of want. You know, you can have any sexual preference you want. But then when it comes to other injustices, well, that's wrong. Well, on what basis is it wrong? You've heard the phrase, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Really quickly, you know, what about the origin of love? You know, reincarnation, based on what? If you live a good life and come back as something better, on what basis is something good? You understand that? On what basis is something evil? How do you get a reward if you've done good, if you don't know what good really is? How do you, you know, be punished if you've done evil, if you can't really define what evil is for anyone and everyone? Does that make sense? What is the basis of reincarnation? You understand that? Sounds like there's someone controlling that. Well, it's the same thing with animal rights. I found a lot of these people have, you know, have real big on animal rights. On what basis is it wrong to kill an animal? You know, why help others? That's one thing that I often think is important. Sometimes you'll find that these New Agers, you know, believe in karma. You guys have heard of karma before. You know, what goes around comes around. Well, why should you ever help anybody? Maybe that's karma. If someone is struggling in life, why should you help them? If that could be karma. That could be from a previous life. They're being punished. Why should you interfere with that? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Here's the last one, and we're going to close. How do you know you're following inner truth? You know what I mean? How do you know that through meditation or whatever, you have discovered your truth? How do you know that's really truth? You know? How do you know you're not being deceived by something else? You know? When you begin to investigate this New Age thing, and I think there's a lot of holes that you can poke through it, that and a lot of questions that they just can't answer. It's trendy. It is non-judgmental. It does not have a set of moral beliefs that the Bible has. And so naturally, people today will reject the Christian faith and gravitate to some of these beliefs, if not all of them. It is a growing movement. And I think as Christians, we need to be aware of it and ultimately not be influenced by it as well. Any comments or questions? I think I've taken up plenty of time. So here's the deal next week. Next week, I think you'll find it interesting. Next week, we're going to talk about the Christian worldview in that. What do people who call themselves Christians believe? Because here's what you're going to find. These various worldviews have influenced Christianity. Social justice, communism, liberalism. You understand that? There are other things, you know, premillennialism. We're going to talk about all these things. And overall, the whole goal of this class is understanding the times. I think we need to have an understanding of people who call themselves Christians. They're one extreme to the other. What do they believe? You understand that? And what do they believe in accordance with the Bible too, by the way? So we're going to talk about that next week. I think you'll find that one to be interesting. Tonight, this one was weird, let's be honest. You know, this one was weird. But I hope I kept your attention, and hopefully you learned something from it. If there are no questions, I appreciate your time. Thank you for being here.